From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
Walt Ruff is looking sharp over here.
I know, sharp-dressed man, Walt Ruff, he is.
He was, we don't keep somebody dressed this sharply waiting, so we're just going to bring team reporter for the Canes, Walt Ruff, straight into the guest chair here.
Okay, speaking of what you're wearing, all black here with the mock turtle and everything, literally all black head to toe. Are we the funeral for the Islanders season tonight? Is that what we're preparing for? Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay, all I need to know.
That's all right. That's a perfect, perfect smooth answer.
Hurricanes.com.
I see all that black, and I just think I've got a dog with white hair that sheds, and I'm like, goodness gracious. So stay away from me, and you'll keep looking fresh.
It's all good. You look good, too. You got a black shirt on. You're right. I don't see a hair.
Thank you. There was some tape used to get the hair off. And anyway, speaking of it being kind of the funeral vibe, right, the closeout game, how frustrating was it that game four wasn't the closeout game?
Yeah, there was some frustration.
Especially because so much of the game, it felt like the Canes were playing the better team, the better hockey on the ice.
Right. It's tough because in a situation like that, you obviously want to close it out. But the guys are cognizant, too. New York's played some pretty good hockey. Mm. I know that it's a 3-1 series, but you could make a strong argument that they deserve to win game two. I mean, yes, they didn't have the appropriate strategy to close that one out. But
don't
then
take that from us. That game was too cool.
Right. Yeah, totally agree. But it could be a 2-2 series right now coming into tonight. So, yes, I think there was an element of frustration specifically within the faceoff dot. But you have a 3-1 series lead. You're back on home ice tonight. You know what you're going to try and rectify or improve on and try and close out tonight.
You brought it up. What the heck is going on with faceoffs?
Yeah, seriously.
Super weird. The lowest faceoff percentage regular season or postseason this season for the Canes. Second lowest all time in Canes postseason history. The only other game that I'm told they had worse was actually during the Cup final against Edmonton. Huh. I don't know what game it was, but all the way back in 06.
So you're saying it's a good omen?
Well, that's one way to look at it. I like it. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but sure. Rod Brindamore kind of labeled it as a non-factor. He said, listen, you get different officiating crews every game. But with that being said, there was obviously, we touched on the frustration, but guys like Jesperi Kotkaniemi, it felt like he was getting chucked out of the faceoff dot every time he stepped in. It felt kind of weird, but to my knowledge, it probably will not be that same crew again tonight. You'll have to forgive me. I haven't looked it up yet, but I would be shocked beyond belief if we see another 32% from the Canes in the dot tonight.
It's weird because it seems like, especially with the Canes games, I'm seeing across a lot of the Stanley Cup playoff games, like a lot of guys on teams are just getting booted from faceoffs. Seems like more than the regular season. And I'm not entirely sure why. Like, are they getting more strict with, like, you got to have your be set in 5 seconds or, like, whatever it is? Like, are they just being more strict? I don't know. It just seems like we're seeing more guys getting kicked out of the faceoff dot.
Yeah, and of course, as you guys know, like, we don't get told any of that, right?
Yeah,
like,
no,
the officials aren't made available. So you just hope that behind the scenes there's a level of transparency to whether it be the front office, the head coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Not, like, there's got to be some form of messaging there. And Rod Brindamore said during Sunday's press availability that, you know, every time a guy was taking a faceoff, he was coming back to the bench frustrated about something and seemingly something different. So, again, hopefully not a factor tonight. Hopefully something we don't have to touch on again.
And I said this earlier on the show earlier this week. It passes like what I call the non-hockey fan test. I was watching with my wife who doesn't know the rules. And she just kept looking at me going, why do the Canes keep getting have to replace when they do this? Right. Mm-hmm. So even though it's something that stood out. And then you look at the face-off win-loss numbers and it just feels kind of like they had to be causing it somehow because they were so unusual. Looking elsewhere, outside of faceoffs, one thing we were just talking about, you know, we set our two key players and both that we wanted to step up. Both of us had Jake Guentzel, which feels very demanding because he's been playing extremely well. But what does he have to do to kind of get a non-empty net, maybe even an even strength goal in the postseason, you know, knowing he is that hired gun that's been brought in to do just that?
Yeah, I think everyone enjoyed his hot streak going into the postseason, right? Points in 8 straight games. There are a lot of people forgetting that he's got points in 3 straight games here in this series. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Everybody's waiting for that pop, right? Mm-hmm. That big goal. We saw it in game 2 with Sebastian Aho in the game tying goal, Jordan Martinook with the game winner. He's been around it, but you're right. For him to reach the back of the net tonight would be huge. It would go a long way. That top line's been really good, especially when you consider that it's been really a pairing in Gensel and Aho. The first little bit it was with Seth Jarvis, now it's with Andrei Svechnikov, and the fact that they're seamlessly working no matter who they've got on the right wing alongside them, that's when you talk about the underlying stuff going your way. I think it's all right behind the scenes for sure.
Walt Ruff, team reporter for the Canes, joining us here outside PNC Arena ahead of game 5 between the Canes and the Islanders. Canes obviously ahead 3-1. That top line playing extremely well. You just brought it up. Is it wrong for me to want more? Because they're like, closeout games are when your best players kind of have to get you over that finish line, as we've been talking about. What more can they do, and how do they step up even further?
Well, what I think goes hand in hand with that is that the fact that the Canes as a whole haven't played, they've said it themselves, up to their standard in this series. It's kind of crazy to say with a 3-1 series lead, but for those of us like who have watched all 82 regular season games, this team really has not played the way that they played in a lot of those games. And I think what a lot of people are sitting and waiting on for that, I'm not going to say it's going to be like a 5-0 blow you out of the water type performance that everybody's waiting on, because we know we don't see that really often this team, but yeah. It's kind of like that suffocating 2-0, 3-0, give you absolutely nothing. A lot of what we saw in the back half of game 2 for a whole 60 minutes, that's what we know this team is capable of. And that's what I think a lot of people are waiting on. Hopefully, maybe we'll see it tonight.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be 6-1, mm-hmm. but it feels 6-1 sometimes, yeah. when it's 2-0.
Yeah.
This goes back a couple weeks now, but one of the things, this is my first year covering the Canes, Dennis would say, you're going to love playoff Jarvi. Mm-hmm. You're going to love playoff Jarvi. And then turns out, 4 games in, I absolutely love playoff Jarvi. How is playoff Jarvi different than regular season Seth Jarvis?
He just takes it to a new level. He's a bit... Let's talk about the casual hockey fans or the non-hockey fans again, right? You see this little 5'10", he's probably listed at maybe 170 kid skating around out there. He looks young. You think, okay, he's probably talented, but then you watch him play.
He's on every Jumbotron playing games and quirky little, you know, yeah. what's your favorite artist on your pregame playlist? And he's endearing.
Yeah.
But then the other side flips.
Exactly. And that's a great point to touch on, because he's the same guy going hard into the corners like he's 6'5", 240. He's taken it, as he likes to call it, to the hoop. He's got no fear in his game. He'll lower his shoulder, whether it be on the attack with the puck or going into the corner to win a puck battle. He doesn't play like he's 5'10", 180. And I think we know what that means in the sense of he will wear it. There was a couple playoffs ago, Dennis, maybe you'll recall, I think it was in Boston,
yeah.
2 years ago, where
mm-hmm.
he blocked that shot.
Oh, yes.
He just sold out for it. Little things like that, the intangibles that you don't expect to see, he just does so well, and I think that's what makes him even more effective this time of year.
It's amazing because Robert Nymore trusts him on the defensive end. For such a young yeah. player, like, he trusts him out there. Like, when the PK, when Kane's got to go into penalty kill, it's him and Staal to start things on the PK, which, again, for a guy who's just 22 years old, so we said a lot yesterday, pretty mm-hmm. remarkable for a young guy.
Massive step forward this year, especially on special teams. That's a really good point to bring up.
And anytime you talk about Jarvis or a few other guys, you know, Chatfield amongst them, you start talking contracts. And one that doesn't get talked about enough, how often, like, throughout your day does it randomly pop in your brain that Rod Brindamore is on an expiring contract this postseason?
Well, within the last 24 to 48 hours and some of the news coming out of the Pacific Northwest, probably more frequently than not. But
even if that, like, I think we can all agree that probably doesn't affect the situation, what's going on in the Pacific Northwest. But with that just kind of bubbling it to the surface, that
yeah.
I mean, Brindamore is actually on an expiring contract.
He is. It's an incredibly important piece of business to tackle, because think about it. You put the average NHL head coach, I'm obviously biased, but I think Rod Brindamore is well beyond the average NHL head coach. If
yeah.
you replace him with even just an average NHL head coach, does this team have the amount of success it has? I don't think so. I don't think it has anywhere close to the amount of success. Rod Brindamore is a leader through and through. We saw it when he was the captain of this team. We see it now with the way he motivates his players behind the scenes. It's an incredibly important business piece of business to tackle. I'm of the school of thought that he is one of those guys, and he's made it known throughout the season he wants his people to be taken care of first. So it's entirely possible that something is done behind the scenes. I don't know that for a fact or not, but that's what a leader does, right? So it's possible we're talking about nothingness right now, something that's already been taken care of, but it is. At the end of the day, as of right now, for the public knowledge, he's on an expiring contract, and that is a little worrisome.
And there's when it comes to that situation, everyone I talk to, they kind of talk out of both sides of their mouth. He loves Raleigh. They love him. Mm-hmm. He's been here since he has so much his hand in this and everything. I'm going like, that all sounds great, but then why isn't it done already, right? It's there's both sides of that. And not to mention, right, if anything happens there, and I don't think it will, but you could have a mighty upset group of players who yeah. are really loyal to that guy.
Yeah, totally agree. And look at the other side of the coin that we were just speaking on. If you replace this team with an average NHL head coach, well, there's probably 31 other teams out there looking at it like, hey, if we can get that guy, imagine where our level of play goes to. So, yeah, I'm going to be optimistic and hope that something gets announced here soon. But also, like, let's not kid ourselves. Rod Brind'Amour he wakes up, his first thought in the morning is, how do we win that day? How do we win that night? So it may not be until this run is all said and done. Hopefully, not going to win another 6 weeks from now. But until then, we're probably going to be talking about it. Right?
We hear about Kane's culture. Like, he's the one that set that. I mean, I know that Slavin and Stahl and these other guys, Aho, have been around for a long time. But he's the one that set that. The Canes are the only franchise, if you count the bubble in 2020, the only franchise the last 5 years to actually win a series in the postseason. And they're about to make it six straight years tonight. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's like, they're the only franchise that's done it. That level of consistency, he's been the top guy. I mean, there's been turnover in so many coaching spots across the entire NHL, and they have not had the level of consistency that Carolina has, outside of maybe Tampa because of the cups that they won under John Cooper. But that's it. That's really all I can think of. It starts with that guy. Like, and that's the guy you want to keep around.
And he has to make the tough decisions, so we'll lean on one of those. Freddie in all four thus far. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised by that, and do you think it continues?
Yes, I am surprised, and yes, I think it will continue. Rod always cautions us to not read too far into practices, but based on yesterday's skate and the way he spoke on Sunday, he said, listen, we've got an off day and then a light workload. The only thing different at yesterday's practice from any other practice day in the series was that Spencer Martin, the third goalie, was on the ice, which you can put two and two together. That is to give Freddie a light workload. So I would be very surprised if they went away from him this evening. He's been really good in all four games. Performance is never the question with Frederik Andersen, right? It's just a matter of, do you feel like you're playing a lottery ticket when you're sending him out there five games in a row? He hasn't gone five in a row since round two of last year, May 3rd through 11. Of course, he missed quite a bit of the time. You never know, during the regular season, he could have gone five in a row if he were healthy and not in the sidelines. But I think performance-wise, it's absolutely the right call.
And then the other kind of change up in this one, forced by injury, give Tony D'Angelo a grade for the run he's been on since being forced in for Pesci.
Ooh, great. I was always terrible at school. I'd be right. I mean, yeah. Listen, we're all well aware it could be going much worse. We've seen the good of Tony D'Angelo. We've seen the bad in Tony D'Angelo. And
sounds
so far,
again, like maybe at least me as a student, right? It's like you turn in a B, it's like, could be worse.
Yes,
be
yes, worse. Exactly that. That's probably where I'm coming from there. But a lot of people who I spoke to thought he was one of the Canes' better players in game four on Long Island. And so that's totally fair to say. And that says a lot, given that his bread and butter is the offensive side of things, right? And he's not called upon to quarterback a power play right now. So you just hope that his defensive end of things can hold up at 5-on-5, and it has. So you're right. Credit to him. Rod Brind'Amour spoke highly of him yesterday, and Rod Brind'Amour is not afraid to tell you when things aren't exactly going great. So I think that speaks volumes.
Walt Ruff, team reporter for the Canes, before we get your first goal score, that's a little you can crank that away in the back of your brain.
Yeah.
How much is the physicality of Jesper Foss being missed?
You feel for him, right? Speaking of things you think about on a daily basis, I mean, just a basically meaningless regular season finale, and he blows a tire going to the net, and now he's dealing with a neck injury that you just feel terrible for him because he's such a staple in this lineup night in and night out.
And doing the team veteran thing out there, you know, giving it a good go when so many of the veterans were in street clothes. Yeah. Jarvis was in the broadcast booth.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough. That's really, really tough to swallow. You feel for the guy. He just does it all right. Like you said, he's consistent every single night. He's another guy who goes hard in the corners. He's aggressive on the forecheck. When you reference players who know the exact identity of this team, Jesper Foss is one of them, and you just feel terrible that he's not out there right now.
Give us your first goal scorer, player and period, Kane's first goal scorer.
Okay, so I went with Brady Shea. I believe that was before game two, game one.
Correct.
Don't think I was right. But so I'm probably not going to be right again. But thankfully, this is not legal gambling or wagering advice. But just
entertainment purposes only. That's what we used to have to say. Before it was legal, we used to have to go, entertainment purposes only.
Okay, that's good, because I don't know the odds on this either, but probably pretty good return value. First guy that came to mind for me is Dmitry Orlov.
All right. I like it.
Yeah. I think he's
from distance, right? Just a hammer.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what everybody thinks of when they think of Dmitry Orlov. It's what we probably should think of, that goal he scored just before the All-Star break against Arizona to win it in the final minute, right? Like, that was sweet. But I was actually thinking that it just wind up from the point, just an absolute bomb, get through traffic, and first period. Why not?
All right.
All right. So you have Orlov in the first, Cat Campbell gave us Kokkinen in the first. We actually have Brandon online said Jarvis in the first. We have a Teravainen from Tommy in the first period. We also have from Ely, Natchez in the first period as well.
So we're covering the whole roster.
Covering the entire roster. But before you know it, we're going to get Freddie.
Hey, you talk about good odds. You'll get a nice little payback on that one if you can find anyone to take the bet. 4:33, we're going to take three callers for the official contestants to win a signed puck on predicting the first goal scorer. Walt, unfortunately, you are not eligible, so that's just for fun.
That makes sense.
But I'm sure you can find a way to assign puck if you really need
probably.
It to.
Probably.
Walt, we appreciate you for hanging out.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700. You never know who's going to walk by.
That's right.
We had Kevin Keats, head coach of men's basketball NC State, stop by. He was just in the area. Now we turned around and we saw Kat Campbell, who we talk to on most game days anyway, WRAL. She brings us the weather. But she was walking by. We said, throw on a headset and jump in. So welcome.
You guys can't compare me to Kevin Keats, though. You know, you're setting the bar high. You can't put me on the same playing field.
I don't know if he would be as good giving us the weather. So there you go. Beautiful day today. Can we expect more of this?
It's going to be gorgeous for tailgating. You know, it's warm. Temperatures are in the 80s, but, you know, there's some clouds. You don't have direct sunlight, and the breeze is just heavenly out here today. It makes it really comfortable. So I'm comfortable in my long sleeve jersey, so I think most people should be fine in T-shirts or jerseys as they're coming out to tailgate. As you leave the game tonight, we have a chance of a shower storm, but I don't expect that for tailgating.
Okay.
What I like about the breeze is we were talking tailgates before we came on air. You get the full array of all the smells and all the different grill options, just depending on whether the breeze is coming or not.
Right, you got to situate yourself where you're to the northeast of the best tailgate to get the best smells.
There we go. As always, we need your prediction. How does today's game go for the Canes?
I think it's going to go good. You know, we were hoping for the best this past weekend, but I think it's going to be good. That means we get this game on home ice tonight. They're going to be playing with their people, with their fans, and I think all the fans are going to bring the energy. My sister's coming out here tonight for her birthday. Shout out to her. And I have a lot of friends coming out here to the game tonight, so I think it's going to be packed in there.
A win sounds like a lovely birthday
present. Yeah, I think they're going to take it home tonight.
Anytime we're doing these little pregame shows, one of the things we do is we ask for the first goal scorer for the Canes. We need a player and what period they're going to score it in. Who gets the first one for the Canes?
Okay, first period. Okay. We're going good. We're going optimistic. Okay, this is where I'm going to get a little crazy, and I am going to go with KK.
Nice.
May not be the most popular answer, but I'm wearing his jersey, so I gotta go with him.
Gotta go with it.
That's osmosis, right?
Just exactly.
But by way of wearing the jersey. I think that would be great for the Canes if Kokkinen gets going early and puts one in the back of the net.
Yes, absolutely. He hasn't scored in a minute. He needs one.
So there you go. It's a little bold. It's a little off the beaten path, but I respect it. So, Kat, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for handling the weather for us. And you have some live hits coming up. Where can people find all the info?
All that's going to be on WRAL. Thank you guys for having me, and go Canes.
Perfect. Once again, that's Kat Campbell, WRAL, giving you the tailgate weather report here on 99.9 The Fan.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are The Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.